My first summer in college, it was pretty rough. I was like, I don't know if I'm finna start. These practices are crazy. My defense, I don't even know what help defense is. Like,
Oh,
I was
geez. Oh,
confused.
geez.
I was just like, yeah, I was just a deer in headlights and I was just stressing so bad. But it wasn't until like right before the season, we had a scrimmage against our practice guys. Like, we had a real scrimmage, refs and everything. That was just to get us prepared for the season. And we had a real game. My coach put me in the starting lineup for that. And I was like, oh, okay. I think I scored like 27 against the boys. And that was like my breakout moment, especially like just in practice, like, okay, I feel like myself again. And since then, I just was like, you know what? I can.
Welcome back to Sometimes I Hoop. We've got a highly requested guest just in time for March Madness joining us today. Quick humble brag, 2023 National Freshman of the Year, two-time first team All-ACC, one of the fastest in program history to ever cross 1,000 career points, none other than Florida State's own Taniya Latson. Thank you so much for hopping on the pod today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Presented by Wendy's. Well, March Madness is here, so I need to know, what song is on repeat in the locker room right now for you and your team to get y'all ready?
I would say Humble by Lil Baby. I'm not from Atlanta. I'm from Miami, but I used to live in Atlanta. I went to high school in Atlanta. Lil Baby's my favorite artist, so that's
okay.
On repeat for me.
You can claim the A a little bit. You spent some good time there. Okay, I see. Jumping right into the women's basketball landscape, things are heating up in the conference tournament. As we've seen over these past few days, things have been a little crazy. But we'll start with you guys in the ACC tournament. Big win against Syracuse, tough loss against NC State. What do you like about how your team is gelling headed into March Madness right now?
We understand that it's bigger than us and we want to, you know, change the program. We want to turn it around. I feel like we all have the same common goal, which is to win.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. And we're just gelling, right? We have chemistry on and off the court. And like I said, we just have each other's backs. So I feel like that's what's helping us go into the tournament.
Yeah, I feel like it's very apparent when you guys play that you have great team chemistry. You've kind of had that young core really since you guys came in. So I think it's really kind of showing as you get into this part of the season. But I mean, the ACC final was exciting. Notre Dame beat NC State. It was a really close game. Did you have Notre Dame winning or did you pick NC State? What was your kind of prediction heading into that?
I knew Notre Dame was going to win.
Okay.
But I have a lot of friends that play for NC State, so I was kind of just neutral. I love Coach Ivy. She's such an amazing coach. And Coach Westmore, he's such a great coach, too. So I knew it was going to be a battle, but I knew Notre Dame was going to win it.
Okay, yeah. I saw Notre Dame play against Georgia Tech. I mean, they're tough to beat. I feel like they have a lot of different weapons, but you guys do, too. You lead the ACC top of the conference in scoring at 80 points a game. I mean, that's hefty. How are you supposed to, like, it's really just trying to outscore y'all at the end of the day. So what makes you guys so dangerous on the offensive end?
I feel like we play pretty fast. I mean, we're the fastest in the conference. That's our motto, just be the fastest team in the country. Get to the basket, you know, just everybody's an attacker. Everybody can go to the basket. And I feel like that really helps us score as much as we do.
I mean, and you individually averaging 21 a game, that's insane for you to be doing for still, I feel like you're still so young in my eyes, but you've been running FSU for a few years now. So, I mean, you're averaging 21 a game, fourth in the ACC, 13th in the country. How do you feel like you've continued to elevate your game? Because even as a freshman, you were one of the top scorers in the league. And so now you're at the head of every scouting report. So how have you continued to still work through all the different defensive schemes being thrown at you? If they're going over, they're trapping, all these different things. How have you been able to continue to elevate your game?
Just trying to be consistent with my outside shot. I've been working on that in the offseason, just trying to, you know, open up the lane for me to be a threat all over the floor. Just getting my teammates more involved. When I am getting trapped, just try to pass it to somebody that's open. Just make the right plays for my teammates and myself and just continue to be me. I just take what the defense is giving me, but also just still trying to be aggressive, still trying to have that hunger. I feel like that was the biggest thing this year for me, just continue to be hungry.
Yeah, and I think it's what you talked about, reading the defense. You're not one of those players where, like, it's always you're going to get yours. I feel like you read the defense so well in terms of, like, you're getting your teammates involved. You have a lot of different scoring weapons on your team. And so I think that's what makes you so great is reading all those different options, which I've always loved about your game. Even throwing it back to our first takeover when we met, like, you're a player to get your teammates involved. But talking about other conference tournaments, the SEC was absolutely insane. Watching, yeah, it was all over the place. So we'll start off with the semis. Tennessee had South Carolina, which I did not see coming, honestly. I know Tennessee is good, but I thought, yeah, South Carolina was going to run that game. Camilla, yeah, hitting the three, like your first career attempt is insane. So we'll start with Tennessee. Do you feel like they're kind of like being under the radar team? I feel like their coach always has them prepped. So coming into the tournament, I feel like, you know, you guys beat them earlier in the year, which was, mm-hmm, close. What, you guys won by, yeah, one? Something,
yeah,
like
we
that?
Won by 1 point.
One by one. That was a close game too. And so, you know, I feel like they're kind of under the radar. But coming off a loss like that, do you feel like that'll really help them moving into the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like nobody's come that close to beating South Carolina. And I feel like that should give them an extra boost, like that they are capable of beating the best. That shouldn't be like a dagger for them. I feel like that should give them confidence to show like what they're capable of. And they have awesome, awesome players like Jewel Spear, Rakia Jackson. And they just gel. I feel like they really fit each other. So I feel like they're going to make a pretty good run in the tournament.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of teams have the capability to really put together a tough run in the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
But another team like that is LSU. I don't have the words. Everybody knew that rematch was going to be insane. LSU South Carolina has really become a rivalry in recent years, I feel like. And, mm-hmm, SC seems invincible a lot of the time. But they've had a few close games like that. Talking about Tennessee, I think they had another scare earlier in SEC play. But, yeah, like, the end of that game shows the intensity of women's basketball right now. And I feel like it's literally, mm-hmm, all over my social media feed. No matter where I am, what's TikTok, Twitter, it's all I'm seeing. So, yeah, I want your opinion. Do you feel like the benches should have been ejected? Like, what are you, and especially like them not being able to come out and celebrate at the end was wild.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I saw Chloe posting the selfie, yeah, of the four of them in the locker room. I was dying. But what's your opinion on how the end of the game and how that was all handled?
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, I can see the ejections, but like you said, just allowing them to come out and celebrate, that was like, I feel like they should have been able to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I knew it was going to come to that because it was a pretty physical game and, you know, the rest were letting them play and talk smack. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's what happens, like Coach Don Staley said. That's what happens when tempers flare and everybody's trying to win. But it was really great for TV. It's good for girls basketball, too. I feel like, mm-hmm, it brings a lot of exposure for us. And, yeah, I'm always going to go for South Carolina because my teammate, Raven Johnson, mm-hmm, my high school teammate, I love her. I was so happy that they won. I like LSU, too. I got a couple friends over there, too. So it was a good game, though. It was really good.
Yeah, it was a good game. And like you said, I feel like it's so good for women's basketball, not only like the pub around it, but more so just to show that competitive aspect to it. I feel like a lot of times, yeah, people don't think that, mm-hmm, we play like that. Like, it's physical, mm-hmm, out there. And like you said, the refs were letting them play. I was, mm-hmm, watching the battle in the post. Like, it was getting chippy. I was like, oh, we're not calling anything today.
But it's bad, girls.
literally. Do you feel like you've noticed like a level of physicality really increase in the postseason? Because watching yesterday's game and other women's college basketball games, I'm like, mm-hmm, oh my God, it is down, yeah, and dirty up in the paint. I feel, yeah, like the physicality, yeah, has just gotten to another level as we head, yeah, into March Madness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. You see teams just like, they got that hunger in their eyes. Every game is like hard, especially in the ACC tournament. Like, River Baldwin and Maddie Westbrook were going, yeah, at it in the post. Like, it was some tempers flaring then. So, yeah, I just feel like everybody just has one goal, which is to win, and they're playing hard.
For sure. I'm really just like, refs are letting them play. Because I feel like, mm-hmm, especially in conference tournaments like that, refs are really trying to set the tone that, like, it's, yeah, going to be played a certain type of way. But I did not, mm-hmm, see that this year, which I was a fan of, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, letting, yeah, them play, too, it's great.
Yeah.
But touching on another conference, we got the Big Ten. Seeing Ohio State and Indiana lose, I was, yeah, shocked.
That was crazy.
That was insane because Ohio State was on a 14-game win streak heading into that. So to, mm-hmm, drop back-to-back, and I don't know how that's going to affect their number one seed lining like that, I feel like, mm-hmm, it's just showing the depth of every conference. Because I feel like in years, right, past, it's kind of been like SEC, Pac-12, and ACC, you're deep, mm-hmm, from top to, yeah, bottom. Big 10 and Big 12 are always kind of run by those same top teams, but, mm-hmm, seeing somebody like a Nebraska get into the championship game is really exciting. And so, yeah, that overtime final, Oh my God.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that secures Iowa a number one seed heading into the tournament? Or do you feel like things can still kind of be shaken up coming into Selection Sunday?
I feel like that secures them, honestly. They had a pretty good year, even though they had a couple upsets. I feel like just the power of Caitlin Clark, like, yeah. You know, yeah. I feel like they're going to get that number one seed for sure.
Yeah, I feel like they could have secured it with that. But honestly, like, the number one seeds are really all over the place. You had somebody like UCLA run the table at number two for weeks on end, Ohio State for weeks. And for them to kind of drop like they did towards the end of the season, it should be interesting. I think Selection Sunday is going to be all over the place. And finally, with the Pac, Stanford did lose yesterday, which hurt my heart. But, I mean, USC is tough. USC is tough. Yeah. You got to give it to them. And I feel like, you know, Juju's amazing. But I feel like people are so caught up being like, she's the whole team, when in reality, she's a great supporting cast. Somebody like Mackenzie Forbes, who I played club with, who I love seeing her go crazy yesterday.
I played USA basketball with her, and she's such a great teammate. Like, she does all the little things. So,
she does. Yeah. I love seeing just like other players step up. And I think what makes Juju great, just like yourself, is that when she sees like maybe she doesn't have the hot hand, you know, she's still swinging the ball. She's getting her teammates involved. There's all these other things going on. Do you think USC has enough like in their arsenal to get a number one seed after winning the Pac at the end of the year?
I don't know. Pac-12 was tough this year. Like, I don't know.
We'll leave that one undecided. And then talking about Juju a little bit, we talked about Notre Dame. Coming from you being a rookie of the year yourself, who has your vote for this season's freshman of the year, Hannah or Juju? Are you on one side? Are you going to take the middle? Give us some good.
Well, I've been on Juju since I was in like 7th grade. She was like 6th grade. So it's some history there. And, you know, Hannah Hidalgo, I got to give her a prop. She's an amazing player. Yeah. So I'm just going to stay neutral, but at the same time, I got to go with, like, my friend. Juju's been playing her butt off. Like, I'm not going to lie. A lot of people haven't seen that. And I feel like she gives college basketball just a refreshing. Like, she's so refreshing. She's such a great person. She's an amazing player, like I said. So I feel like they're going to give it to her.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate you taking a side. You were trying to skip out on me on a few of those controversial questions. I appreciate taking a side. Yeah. But, you know, I think they both had amazing seasons, but I don't think USC, like we talked about, their supporting cast is great, but I don't know if USC would be where they are without Juju and her performances, which I think she's so valuable to that program, not only for her scoring, but like seeing the impact that she's had, people coming to their games, all the different celebrities, like it's insane.
That's what I'm saying.
It's insane. Yep. But thinking about the tournament, I want to get into the madness a little bit. And some of our next questions are brought to us by our lovely sponsor, Wendy's. So I want to ask you a question about, we talked a little about like kind of those dark horse teams, people who are kind of coming into it towards the end of the season. What teams have made you do a double take and like who could kind of make a run this year? Because there's always those teams. A few years ago, it was Creighton. I don't know. I think another year it was like
BYU. Miami was last year.
Yeah, Miami was a team last year. So who do you feel like is going to be that team this year?
I feel like Michigan. Michigan has been playing pretty good too lately. Though, I'm not going to lie. Michigan, of course, Tennessee, like I just said, I feel like they're going to make a pretty good run. Who else? Dang. I don't know. I feel like, I mean, Notre Dame, like they just won ACC, but I feel like people are still kind of like underestimating them. I feel like they're going to make a pretty good one too, especially if they're healthy. Virginia Tech, I mean, they just lost Liz Kitley, so I don't know. Yeah. But yeah.
No, those are some good teams. Those are some good picks. I think the one I would add is like Oregon State coming into their own this half the season. Because I mean, like, me playing against them in the pack, you know they're always good. But I feel like in years past, recently, they've kind of not been getting it together. But I think this year, they've really been showing out. Like, Reagan Beers is a monster down there. Oh, my God. I was playing her last year. She set a screen on me, and I think I almost, like, passed away. I wasn't getting through that. I was done. I needed a sub. So, like, she's a monster. But they have a lot of great pieces. But talking about teams, I want to move into specific players. Is there anybody that has, like, really impressed you this season that's going to make some noise in the tournament?
Of course, Juju. Of course, Hannah Hidalgo. Rekia Jackson. Who else? Georgia Amore. Like, I know she's without Liz right now, and that's like her partner in crime, but she's an amazing player. Yeah. Amazing player. Who else? I don't know. Alyssa Peewee. I feel like she's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Utah. Who else? Yeah, that's all I got on the top of my head right now.
Those are some good picks. I love watching Georgia play. Her step back three is actually like unguardable. What are you supposed to do with that?
That crossover is unguardable. I remember my freshman year, that was like my welcome to college moment.
Dang.
I almost fell. I was like, oh,
you know what? It's okay. It's happened to many people out there. It's fine. I had my welcome to the league moment with a freaking jab step. So like, you're good. A crossover step back, you're fine. But I think heading into the tournament, one thing that I've always found so interesting is like you play at these neutral sites, right? With the regionals, you have Seattle, Greensboro, whatever it may be. But the way that the certain fans show up for certain teams, it does not feel neutral. Like seeing South Carolina travel to Greensboro, which honestly isn't even that far from Columbia, but like playing somebody like that, I feel like there are certain fan bases that are just absolutely insane. What do you feel like one of the wildest fan bases, I mean, recently in college hoops?
NC State, when we played them, they had the whole crowd. It was just go Pack.
Really?
The whole crowd.
Yeah. I didn't know that one.
Yeah, they have a pretty big crowd. It's like super loud in there when we do play there. Louisville has a good one in the ACC too.
Yeah.
Who else? Iowa, of course, you know.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, LSU, they have a pretty good crowd.
I feel like those are the top ones for sure. I didn't realize NC State traveled like that though. I did not know the pack was like that. I feel like you know about LSU, Iowa. A big one for me is I see Gamecock Nation everywhere. Like it does not matter where you are. I see South Carolina fans. And then my last one around this is we talked a little bit about different guards in the ACC and how stacked it is, including yourself. Who do you feel like is your toughest guard or is kind of like that big guard that's circled on you on every scouting report every time you play them?
Let me see. It was Haley Van Lith. She was that dog at Louisville, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It's Hannah now, of course. Like she's just a dog on defense and offense. Like she can play both ends of the floor. When we played Notre Dame, I was like preparing. That was the most focused I've ever been in a game. Like I was like, I had to go get training before that game. Like it was serious. It was serious. But yeah, she's such an amazing player. So I feel like, Hannah's the big dog. She's the big dog.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, to be doing that as a freshman is wild. And I feel like that's how people were circling you when you were a freshman and now still, which is, it's crazy to see. But talking about giving people their flowers, we gave Hannah a whole bunch, Georgia. But I feel like one person that kind of goes under the radar for a lot of people is Miss Fair from Syracuse. Like
yes,
for her, oh my God, for her to be doing what she's doing. And I feel like she doesn't get enough love in the media as well. You don't see that hype. And I remember I played her my freshman year and she was at Buffalo. She gave us buckets, like a 30 ball. Like what? Like we threw six different people at her and she was still going to go get hers. So what is it like scouting her? And then actually it's one thing to scout somebody, but actually executing that when playing somebody of her caliber, talk to me about her.
The first time we played them at their house, like she was on fire. I feel like that was when she first hit like 3K points and we had like 3-4 different people on her and it was crazy. She was shooting from the coach's box. I was like, yo, this is crazy. It was like you couldn't do nothing about it. Like, it's like you try to ice her, you try to drop on her. Like, it's just so many different defenses. And she's an amazing shooter. All you can do is really just try to turn her into a driver, make her put the ball on the floor. And I feel like that's what we did the second time around, which in the ACC tournament, she only had like 2 threes. And we were just like, whew, thank God. Thank God.
That's a win. That's a win, honestly. And then my other one who I feel like doesn't get a lot of love, but every time I watch NC State, I'm always really impressed with Isaiah James. I feel like she's kind of that X factor with NC State. You think about, you know, you have Sanai Rivers, you have River, you have Madison, all these different pieces. But I feel like she really holds them down and is a spark for them when she gets hot. So what do you think she brings to NC State?
Yeah, Isaiah, that's my dog. She's a killer. I was surprised that she didn't play as much last year. because last year we beat NC State at home, but when she came in the game, it was like a whole different momentum. So mm-hmm. I'm just happy to see that she's out there killing it like how she is now. I really wish she was playing with me, but but yeah, she's such an amazing player, even better person off the court.
I love that. Okay, so before we get to talking more about you and talking about your journey and all these different things, we've started a new segment here, which is my question of the day, which is my favorite thing to ask people. This is going to tell me a lot about you, okay? So prepare yourself. It's going to be a little out of the park. Okay. But what do you feel like is the biggest animal that you could take in a fist fight? Talking about no weapons. Like, have a big ego here, okay? Don't say something lame like a puppy or like a raccoon, because people have tried to tell me that. Like, what's the biggest one you feel like you could take?
Probably an elephant.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, that's like my favorite.
Huge.
Yeah, but like that's what you say, like the biggest, like size wise?
Like you're gonna take it in a fist fight though? An elephant?
Oh heck no. let me see. What am I gonna take? Probably like a snake. Like people are scared of snakes. I don't know.
That's a good one. I haven't heard snake yet. Elephant is wild. Mine is giraffe. I feel like I could take out the knees and then get it on the ground and then win, you know?
Yeah.
All right. I didn't like your face that you needed to have when I said giraffe.
No.
All right. Whatever. Snake, I'll take it. Whatever. We're going to jump into you and your basketball journey. Let's take it back a little bit. Miami, Florida. Your dad was in the military, so you kind of jumped around a lot. Texas, Missouri, Hawaii, Atlanta, Miami. How did you start getting into basketball? Who put the ball in your hands?
Honestly, my cousins did. They played overseas, and I just grew up watching them. And ever since like I was 3 years old, I just always wanted to play basketball. But I didn't start taking it serious until like seventh grade. That's when I was like, okay, I want to start playing basketball for real, for real. Before that, I was just thinking of everything. I was raised in Missouri, so, you know, I was raised around a lot of white kids. And, you know, I just wanted to, you know, try to follow in their footsteps. I wanted to be a marine biologist at one point before, like, taking basketball serious. Like, I was a nerd. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, you know what, once I moved to Hawaii, I started taking it more serious. My dad was like, nah, you need to really start, like, you know, training and taking this serious. So that's what I did. And ever since then, the rest is history.
Wow, I love that. Oh, wow. I mean, I bet growing up in Hawaii was so much fun. I'm actually very jealous of that. Yeah. I bet that was a blast. So growing up, you started to take it seriously around seventh grade. Was there somebody that you really modeled your game after? Somebody that you looked up to?
Maya Moore, for sure. Mm-hmm. I love Maya Moore. Like, she was an amazing player. It sucked when she retired. But, yeah, her and I would say LeBron James. I just like how powerful he plays. Like, he just plays like he's just like, you know, a king for real. Yeah. So I try to model that. Like, I tried to, but now I get a lot of comparison of like Baby Flash, like Dwayne Wade. Mm-hmm. So now I just watch a lot of him, like young Dwayne Wade for sure.
Those are three good picks, honestly. You name some heavy hitters. I can see all three of them though. I feel like the way, even though you may not be the biggest guard out there, the way that you get to the rim, like you're bullying people down there. There's no getting in front of you, which is really impressive. Talk to me a little bit about your recruiting process, moving from state to state, kind of all around the country. Did that have an impact in the way you got recruited? Maybe, you know, jumping around AAU teams, different schools, things like that. How did that impact your recruiting?
Well, I didn't start like getting recruited for real until like I moved to Atlanta. That's when I started playing with FBC and, like 10th grade, that's when I started getting my offers and stuff like that. But people knew me from Hawaii. They just didn't know how to contact me. So that was when I started really getting like more offers. My first offer was probably, I think it was Georgia. And then Florida State had came after that. And then after Florida State, everybody just started rolling in.
Mm-hmm. And so when did you realize, you know, you kind of talked about jumping around all these different things, playing against a lot of different types of competition. When did you realize that you were going to be one of the best players in your class? Because you ended up coming out the top small guard in your class, shooting guard. So when did you realize, like, I'm like that, you know, like I need to be getting recruited. I'm going to go do X, Y, Z once I get to the next level.
I would say like 10th grade for sure. I struggled in high school because I played with so many good players. I just was like, you know, maybe I'm not enough. Maybe I'm not as good as, you know, who I'm playing with. And you know, my mom used to tell me a lot. She used to be like, okay, tonight you can't compare yourself to other people. And that's what I've been sticking with the whole time. And I feel like McDonald American, that's what really solidified it for me, that I am one of the best in my class. Just like, I mean, I was like third stream. I came off the bench for real, McDonald American. I was like, dang, I'm that bad.
Oh my God.
but yeah, that just gave me motivation, especially heading into college, because I knew I was like, nah, I'm way better than what people are trying to put, like, you know,
yeah,
project me as. So
no, I feel that. My McDonald's game was absolutely awful. Like, I was trash. Yeah, yeah. So like, I get that. I agree. I think it's also like, when you're playing in such competition, it's hard to not have that comparison going on in your head.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, well, they're doing this, they're doing that, I need to be doing all these different things. Especially, I remember seeing your FBC team, like, y'all were all over Instagram. Y'all were everywhere, loaded. So what were some of the top players in your class or in that AAU experience that you remember going head-to-head with and being like, okay, this is going to be my competition, not only now, but now in the college landscape, like, y'all are still the top dogs going head to head.
Oh, yeah. Well, I never played against Kiki Rice, but she was always like top. Lauren Betts, she was, you know, Lauren Betts is Lauren Betts. She's tall. Fly J Johnson, I played against her a lot in Atlanta. London Jones, I've been knowing her for a while too. So, yeah, it was just a lot of girls, like Janiyah Barker, her too. She played for Essence. Yeah, it was just a lot of girls. I'm like, dang. I don't know how I'm going to, you know, like, I didn't even know if I was going to make the McDonald American list.
Oh,
I was, like, sending a hope and a prayer. I was like, I hope I do. But I didn't make the Jordan All-American, whatever that was. But I didn't make that. So I was just like, well, I'm glad to just have made the McDonald American team, especially because I feel like I was just underrated in high school for sure. Even though I was the number one shooting guard, I just felt like I wasn't still.
Well, so you're jumping to some of my questions here. We'll jump back into that in a bit. Don't you worry. But what ended up being that deciding factor for you to choose Florida State? Because I feel like Florida State is, like, historically this legendary program. But kind of before you got there, they'd been under the radar for a few years. They hadn't been performing as people wanted them to. So what made you want to go to Florida State?
It was somewhere that I knew I could make a name for myself. And I feel like I could have went anywhere and made a name for myself for sure. But they were just the most consistent. I love the staff. The girls treated me like I was their little sister when I went on my official visit. And I just had a great time. I remember going with Raven and Snoop up there for an unofficial, and I didn't have an offer, but those two, they did have an offer, and I was just up there like a little kid. That was the first college I've ever been to. So I was just happy to be there. And then by the end of that, I got the offer. So I was just like, you know what? This is definitely, like, from then on, I was like, yeah, this is going to be a top five school for me.
And then it's hard because then your head coach, Sue, retired in 2022. So then when Coach Brooke ended up taking over, what was that decision-making process for you to decide to stay? Because I feel like a lot of people reopen up their recruiting, think about leaving, all these different things. So what was it about Coach Brooke that made you decide that you wanted to stay?
Yeah, it was definitely hard hearing Coach Sue retire because she's such an amazing woman. But Coach Brooke, she was the associate head coach at the time, and she recruited me, like, heavily. We talked all the time. We talked about boys, school, everything. So she was one of the only coaches that I actually had a connection with. So I was just like, you know what, I'm going to stick it through and see where it takes me. And it's one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seems like it's worked out pretty well. And so throwing it back to your freshman year, you showed up and showed out. You were the first ACC freshman to ever lead the leading scoring at 21.3. Single season freshman scoring record, which is insane. And then you just did so much. You really carried Florida State as a freshman, which I feel like is really hard to do. Coming to league, you're figuring out college. There's a lot of different factors that are now impacting you. But, you know, coming into your freshman year, we talked about that underrated piece. Do you feel like you had something to prove?
Yeah, of course. I knew my capabilities. I knew, like, coming into college. Well, at first, my first summer in college, it was pretty rough. I was like, I don't know if I'm finna start. These practices are crazy. My defense, I don't even know what help defense is. Like, I was just like, yeah, I was just a deer in headlights, and I was just stressing so bad. But again, going back to that connection with Coach Brooke, she just told me to take it one day at a time. And I feel like that would really help me and gain back my confidence and, you know, just that hunger to, you know, go out there and prove myself. And then ever since then, I just ran with it.
Yeah, well, I feel like what's so interesting with that underrated aspect of you is, like, within the women's basketball community and basketball community in general, everybody knows how much of a bucket you are, right? Like, we've talked about you many times on this podcast without you even being on here or anything like that. You're brought up consistently. And so I think within the basketball community, there's no sense of underrated. Like, you are elite. But I feel like we talked about earlier with all these different players, like, the media isn't giving that recognition that you deserve. And so even coming from yourself, talking about, you know, freshman summer is very humbling. I was humbled as well. Like, it's, you got to learn a lot. It's new schemes. It's help side. It's not everything runs through you. And so when did you start feeling like I could really dominate night in and night out in a top league like the ACC?
It wasn't until it was right before the season. We had a scrimmage against our practice guys. Like, we had a real scrimmage, refs and everything. That was just to get us prepared for the season. And we had a real game. My coach put me in the starting lineup for that. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, and then after that, I just I think I scored 27 against the boys. And that was my breakout moment, especially just in practice, okay, I feel like myself again. And since then, I just was you know what, I can. If I can do this against these boys, I can do it against these girls. So just getting back to me and being confident, that was that moment for me.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like confidence can really change anything. Like, whether the ability is always going to be there, but it's the way that you view yourself, really. So I feel like your game is so different from a lot of different players. The way that you move, the way that you're able to body people, your body control, all these different aspects of you. What do you feel like is that part of your game that teams weren't really prepared for to deal with you your freshman year? Like, what do you think sets you apart from a lot of the different guards in the ACC?
I feel like my speed, definitely. My change of pace, just getting to the basket, the way I can weave throughout defenses. I feel like sometimes that has a lot of teams stuck and they don't know what to do. And just my relentlessness, I just keep going. I don't stop. So, I feel like that's what really just shocked a lot of teams.
No, for sure. And I feel like even watching you as a freshman, I think that a lot of people, I wasn't even mature at this point in my freshman career, but you miss a lip, you have a few turnovers, whatever. That relentless aspect to you, you're going to keep going. It does not faze you. You are still going. And as an opponent, that is so frustrating because you're like, oh, I'm in their head. But you're really not. Like, you just going to keep it pushing. Yeah. Next play. And it's very frustrating. And so I think for other ACC teams and all the opponents that you face, to see you do that as a freshman, but continue to do it now, it's really hard to stop somebody with that type of mindset. And you've always had that impact with the team that you were on. And you were kind of put into what seemed like a leadership position pretty early, leading your team in scoring, leading the league in scoring. So how hard was that as a freshman to come in and lead the team and you're 17, 18 leading these 22-year-olds? It's a weird dynamic to have.
It was very hard. I always feel guilty for the success that I do have. Well, I did. I just felt bad because I'm dang, bro, fifth-year seniors, and they haven't even scored 1,000 points. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're out here already getting there.
That's what I'm saying. So I never wanted to really it was just hard just to be myself fully. Last year, I felt especially with, some of the older girls that we had, they loved me, of course. They supported me. But I always felt bad for what I, achieved because I just was I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I don't want to, do too much. But at the same time, I got to go get mine. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, I always did anything that it took to, for my teammates to be successful and for us to win and stuff like that. But I just had to stop feeling guilty and just continue to be me because I know the person that I am.
Yeah. And I think it's also seeing those older teammates uplift you in the fashion that they did, because not a lot of people can take that. If you're older and you're a young person coming in and you're outshining them doing all these different things, a lot of people can take that the wrong way. And then they will then sabotage a team, whatever it may be. But it seems like the program that you guys have and the girls that you're playing with, everybody, it's once you put your own egos aside and the whole team goal of winning is at the front, that's all that matters. It's whoever's going to get us there is going to be worth that. So talking a little bit, the end of your freshman season, your season's cut short with an injury. And y'all were peaking at that time, which is so tough. I feel that. I had the same thing happen. And so take me back to that moment when you found out you weren't going to be able to play in the postseason. You still earned Rookie of the Year, first team all ACC. But how were you able to handle being sidelined with an injury right before the conference NCAA tournament? Because it's hard, and it's hard to stay engaged. And, you know, you're already having this amazing season. So, like, you want to do more, as I know you did. So, like, how were you able to deal with that?
Yeah, it was tough at first. I was like, dang, like, right before the tournament, I feel like that was going to be my moment to just, like, you know, show the world, like, who I really am around that time. But I feel like everything happens for a reason. I trust God. And like I said, I just felt like it happened for a reason. And I was blessed. It was a blessing and a curse at the same time, because I got to see things from a different perspective. I felt like, you know, sitting on the bench, it taught me a lot about how to be a good teammate, how to celebrate others, even when I'm not out there. And I feel like that was a learning curve for me, for sure.
It didn't seem to impact the mindset that bad, because your first game back, comeback, 20 ball, upset over Tennessee, you picked up right where you left off. So I feel like that's amazing to see, especially for somebody so young to come back and just get right back into the flow of things. So what was that recovery process for you like heading into your sophomore season, working on that offseason, not only like focusing on knee rehab, but it's also the mental aspect of trusting yourself again, getting back into playing shape. It's very difficult.
That summer after like my injury and stuff, I had to go to USA and I was exhausted.
Yeah.
But it really just prepared me for the season. I felt like this past summer was probably the hardest summer I've ever had. Just mentally, just like, there's so much pressure. I have to continue to grow my game and I want to be consistent. I want to, like I said, just continue to grow. So all the pressure, all the media, my family and stuff like that, it really became a lot at one point. But I felt like once non-conference was over this year, I felt like I was back into my groove coming into ACC play. So yeah, I felt back in shape and I felt ready to go.
Well, I mean, we see it. We see it now. And I want you to talk a little bit about kind of your big three that you guys have at Florida State, because the three of y'all be going crazy with you, OMG, and Michaela. When you guys are healthy, it's unstoppable. Then you also take into account Sarah, your point guard. I feel like all y'all together, it's quite a core to have. And so was there a certain game this season with all four of you guys hitting that really made you feel like you guys could contend in the tournament this year and make a deep run?
Yeah, Virginia Tech. We played great against Virginia Tech. I felt like we all did what we had to do. And since that game, we just came together and we were like, we're the core. We have to, you know, we have to set the tone, even for the players on the bench, the freshmen, everybody. That's what we ran with the whole season, just the core, us four, you know, going out there, just doing the best that we could.
Okay, amazing. You knew Virginia Tech quick. I remember watching that game. Y'all were clicking. It was very apparent. And when you guys are clicking, it's scary. And so, you know, coming off a tough loss in the ACC tournament, now we're getting into March Madness. It's really big tournament time. What's not only your mindset, but kind of the vibe of the locker room thinking about what goals you guys have moving into this postseason?
I feel like nobody expected us to go to the semifinals in the ACC tournament anyways. So I feel like that was just motivation. For us to just bring into NCAAs, I feel like you said, when we're clicking, we probably played our best two games in the tournament. Honestly, we played really good, and it just gave us a taste of, you know, what we're capable of and how far we can actually go.
I mean, this is the time to peak, honestly. Like, you know, the rest of the season matters. You're trying to get it together, but like, if you're peaking now, that's what you need to see. And this is also going to be your first NCAA tournament with your team at full strength. So how does that feel? Y'all peaking at the right time, everybody's clicking, and you're at full strength. How good does that feel to have everything clicking at the right time?
It feels amazing. Like I said, it just we care about each other. We want to win. And I feel like everybody's on the same page, and it's a great time to be on the same page. I feel like. So, yeah, I just hope that we can go pretty far.
Well, I'm excited for y'all. I mean, I'm always rooting for you individually, as thank you know, you. But yeah. now I'm a little bit of a Seminole fan rooting for you and the team.
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't know if I can get that far, but like a little bit, I'm always like, go tonight.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up, we get into the vibe check, which is going to be rapid fire questions, which I feel you're going to be great at because we've had a few rapid fire already with you new VT, you knew all these different things. So we're ready. Starting off pretty easy, what's the drill that you never want to see on your practice plan?
Probably shoot, let's not wrap it.
I was about to say, what happened?
It's so many drills I don't like to see, but probably the Foster Advantage. I don't like that drill.
What is that?
Like, it's like when you have the free throw and it's like two people and it's like one on two, then two on three, and then like, yeah, that can be.
Yeah, if you're the one, if you start as the one, right, you're gassed.
Yeah,
that drill does suck. Yeah. Okay. Game-winning shot or game-winning steal?
Game-winning shot.
Okay, and one or three-pointer?
And one.
Group TikTok or solo TikTok?
Group,
okay. Why 00 for your jersey number?
In Hawaii, I got that number. My coach was like, my AAU coach was like, oh, you play like James Bond, like 00, 007. So I just kept it and I ran with it, so.
Oh, that's good. James Bond is nice. Yeah. Okay. I feel like I've never heard that in a basketball term, but I like it. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Where's the toughest place to play on the road and why?
NC State, because of their crowd.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. Okay. Biggest trash talker. This could be anybody or somebody on your team.
Sarah Bajetti.
Really?
My teammate, yeah. We'd be having to calm her down.
Really? I feel like I've seen this. Like, they always, like, will run a back quick highlight of her. You just see her mouth yapping.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can see that. Okay. What's your biggest basketball ick?
Ooh, charges. I hate people that take charges on me.
Really?
Yes. And now, like, with the new rule, you can take a charge anywhere, and I hate it.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Who's the biggest flopper?
Biggest flopper? I don't want to put my teammate down like that, but Sarah Bajetti. And we love her again. We love it, though. We need it. She be bringing all the emotion. She is an actress. Yes.
I love that. Honestly, you need somebody like that to get you some calls. Mm-hmm. Every now and then you need it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who's your celebrity lookalike?
I don't even know who I look like. I don't get comparisons.
You know what? You're one of one.
I'm one of one.
That's the answer. Okay. Somebody you would want to play two on two with, but it can't be one of your own teammates.
Raven Johnson.
Okay. I love that. Y'all going to be a little small, but I believe in you.
Yes.
I believe. Okay. What is your favorite pregame hype song?
The Biggest by Boss Man D-Lo.
Okay, that's a good. I thought you were going to say some Lil Baby since we were talking about him earlier, but that's another good pick.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your best impersonation of Coach Brooke?
T, you have to get back on defense. Oh my God.
The voice is crazy. If she listens to this, you're going to get in trouble. I will not be to blame.
She already knows.
Okay. I'm going to be listening out for that. I need her to be mic'd up so I can hear that voice specifically.
You will.
Okay, that's good. But Tanaya, thank you so much for coming on. This has been such a pleasure to get to catch up with you.
Thank you so much. I'm so proud of you and the growth that you've had. And this is podcast. I really love this podcast. So thank you for having me.
And, you know, always go you. Slightly go Seminoles, but not too much. None of the arm stuff. I'm not doing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But thank you so much to everyone for listening. Stay tuned for another episode of Sometimes I Hoop. We'll be back next week. Hey everyone, thanks so much for listening to Sometimes I Hoop. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at haley.jones, that's no I in Haley and three S's in Jones, to get all the Sometimes I Hoop content. You can also watch the episodes on the Players Tribune YouTube page. Thanks again for all your support.
The Players Tribune.com.